Well, hello, hello, hello. I just thought I'd come on. I'm in shock, to be honest. I'm in shock. I've checked into the UK news, as I do sometimes, and this might count as one of the most bizarre, clown worldish days in British history, assuming that it is true and it's not a fake. And to be honest, I'm not sure. It could be a fake. And that is that we have a video doing the rounds on Twitter of what looked like two 12-year-old schoolgirls impersonating police officers. I assume they are actually police officers, and that is not faked, that essentially break the law by forcibly entering someone's property. The grounds on which they claim they need to enter the property is that the woman's daughter has viewed something on social media, viewed a tweet. As far as I'm aware, it is not a crime to view a tweet, and it's not made clear how it's a crime. They then tell her that they need to seize her daughter's phone and seem to kind of intimidate. And of course, they have no, as far as I'm aware, they have no right to do that. In order to enter a person's property in the UK, a police officer requires a warrant, if indeed these two people are police officers and if indeed this is real, which I'm still not sure about. It requires a warrant, and they must tell the occupier that they have a warrant, and they must show them that warrant in order to enter the property. They don't do that. They simply say something about how, if you don't let us in, we will have to escalate this, which is a very intimidating word. And I think they shouldn't be allowed to use intimidating words like that. But a very intimidating word. We will have to escalate this. It seems that the Asian woman, the one in the hijab, then puts her foot in the door and essentially forces her way into the property. And then even once they're in the property and the occupier asks them to, and they also say that if the woman does not give them the phone, then they will have to arrest the daughter, and they seem to imply that the mother herself will be arrested for obstruction of police activity or something along those lines. Now, I find it hard to believe, as DTex is saying in the comment, I refuse to believe this is real, to be honest, which he abbreviates to TBH. I find it hard to believe. I mean, it could be some kind of fascinating TikTok hoax or AI hoax or something like that. It seems quite extraordinary. But if it is real, we have two extremely young female police officers who, being police officers, are not particularly intelligent on average. And then if they're young, people that are young are not particularly intelligent because you reach your phenotypic maximum intelligence in middle age. So you have two particularly unintelligent young women, or two particularly unintelligent women, who obviously don't understand not being that intelligent, don't understand what their powers are, don't understand what the law is, don't understand what they're entitled and not entitled to do, that have perhaps been told by somebody similarly unintelligent and young that they have, that it is a crime, that there's been a complaint about a particular social media post. And I don't know whether this girl, I don't know how it can be that she's viewed it and what even that means. They've obviously got confused there. It must be that she, how would they know that she'd viewed it? It must be that she has shared it or something along those lines. She's done, otherwise how would they know? So they've got confused there, surely, because it is not a crime to view a social media post, as far as I am aware. It may be a crime to download certain things, certain illegal books, that sort of thing. That seems to be a crime. But it is not illegal to view a social media post. So they've completely misunderstood what's going on, and they've misunderstood what powers they have. And they then seem to take the view that they can go to a person's house and demand that that person gives them their child's mobile phone. And if that doesn't happen, then they don't like being argued with by the householder who starts filming them, which they evidently also don't like. And then they say that, well, you have to give us the phone or we will escalate this. This is what they say, which is, as I said, a very intimidating term. Again, I'm not sure they have the right to do that or what that even means. They implicate that we will arrest your daughter if you don't give us the phone. And then they essentially illegally enter the house. Now, this is absolute clown world. This is not normal. This is a complete breakdown in anything normal that could possibly happen in England. You cannot just seize a person's phone in that context. You do not have the right to seize a person's phone. You can only seize evidence in a property if you have a warrant to enter that property. I'm not even sure they have the right to ask for it. They need a warrant, and that's the end of that. And this girl, as far as we are aware, hasn't even been accused of a crime. And they ask her, well, what crime is my daughter accused of? And and they are unable to answer that question. Again, I stress that this could be a hoax. But the fact that it is remotely believable, I mean, there was a case a few years ago of a woman that was arrested for confiscating her daughter's iPads and accused of theft. We have cases of the police coming around someone's house and demanding they delete a tweet that has offended somebody. That this was a recent thing. There was some American disabled woman in the UK, and the police entered her home and demanded she delete a tweet which apparently had offended somebody. This is complete overreach by the police. Now, what is it a reflection of? As far as I can see, as I've said, it's a reflection of the fact that the police, that we have these increasingly vague laws which stupid people are not supposed to interpret. Okay, it's meant to be, if you have a vague law, which you shouldn't have, laws should be absolutely crystal clear, and there should be as little ambiguity as possible with regard to what is a crime. Because if they're not, then that just creates a chilling effect on, particularly on freedom of expression, on freedom of association, whatever. It creates a chilling effect where you don't feel you can do anything because you'll be caught out by some sort of vague law, the Public Order Act. You don't feel you could express an opinion in case somebody decides that's a crime because they've been some vague thing. They've been alarmed and distressed by your words, which I believe can now be a crime. So that's the first problem. But secondly, to the extent these are to be interpreted, these vague laws have to be interpreted by intelligent people, by lawyers, who on average are highly intelligent people and who are able to understand, interpret and pick apart the nuances of these kinds of laws and where they are applicable and where they are not. But what you are doing is you are asking people of probably sub 100 IQ. In the case of these young girlies, probably 95 IQ, something like that. You are asking those people to interpret these extremely vague and complicated laws. So you're asking for trouble, and there will be trouble. Secondly, you are inculcating these silly young people who are likely to just absorb the information they're told and accept it. And you're giving those people power, and you're inculcating them with basically woke ideology and telling them that's the truth. To the extent that those people, not having very high IQ, are a bit insecure, then often the way you will deal with insecurity is by noting what high status people believe and convincing yourself that you believe what the high status people believe or what the intelligent people believe, so that you can feel that you are in fact a bit high status and a bit intelligent. And it is via that process, I think, that wokeness has kind of moved down the society. You know, the modern equivalent of Hyacinthe Bouquet, the person who isn't higher class but wants to come across as higher class and convince herself that she is higher class, is not a snob about the hand-painted periwinkles, the Royal Doulton with the hand-painted periwinkles, or whatever it is, or you know, imitating the posh accent of 100 years ago. That the Hyacinthe Bouquet of today is going to be super woke, and she's going to be very concerned that Bruce has been going around tweeting non-politically correct things and tweeting anti-woke things. And she'll be saying, we've got to stop him, Richard. We've got to stop him. Bruce has been going around. Bruce has been seen at a Tommy Robinson rally. Daddy has been seen at an anti-migrant hotel rally. We've got to stop him, Richard. We've got to go get him, Richard. We've got to stop him. But that's what it would be. And presumably Onslow and Daisy and whatever would be people that voted for the Reform Party. And it would be terribly embarrassing for Hyacinthe. So that's how you get this kind of situation. And then what we just then get essentially is corruption. What we now have as a consequence of stupidity and as a consequence of, I suppose, the way in which the police have been inculcated by wokeness and by the fact that you have basically silly young women and perhaps young chaps to a lesser extent with degrees from polytechnics in sociology and other silly nonsense. And you get these people in positions of relative power within the police. And so what you end up with then is the Khmer Rouge, is as Morgoth has said has tweeted out. Have a look, the new Khmer Rouge. You know, the new cultural revolution. The young girls going around enforcing things. So basically, we have to assume in the UK that the police are corrupt. And British people have always, when I was a kid, you know, your mum would say to you, if there's a problem, if you get lost, go and talk to a policeman. And maybe there's a degree to which that's still true if you're a child. But if you're an adult, I would say, as a rule, let's assume you're in Mexico or something. I don't know what no shit means, Jack. No swearing, please. Let's assume that you're in Mexico or some other country where the police are corrupt. Just assume that the police have low intelligence, so don't really know what they're doing. Assume that, and assume they are corrupt. And I think then you're probably going to be reasonably okay, as long as you assume those things. Do not speak to a police officer. You do not have any obligation to speak to a police officer. You know, sometimes if you interact with a police officer, they will ask you your name or your address. You have absolutely no obligation to give this information. Do not give this information, because there is no need to. They've no business asking. They've no business asking it. And this is the problem, that you don't, they assume, and indeed they hope, that you don't know your rights. And it was, until relatively recently, it didn't matter that you didn't know your rights, because they knew your rights, and they were reasonable people, and they felt an obligation to ensure that your rights were respected. Of course, there were exceptions. There were policemen that would torture people, beat people up, the Guildford Four, that sort of thing. But in general, that was the case. The police, you've got to know what your rights are, and assume, unfortunately, that a lot of police officers, particularly young ones, and obviously are going to be increasingly stupid and increasingly corrupt by political ideology and increasingly emotionally oriented, and will not know what their rights are or what your rights are, and will just step beyond everything. And the very fact that we will have to escalate the situation, this is very interesting. This is what stupid people do. They learn a series of words and they repeat them back. What an intelligent person might have the confidence, because they understand what they are talking about, to put their own gloss, their own sense of voice on what is being said. Unless by law they must use that set of words, such as the set of words that would be employed when you are arrested. They must use that set of words for the avoidance of doubt, so that nothing, otherwise you have, it's potentially, you could challenge everything and say that you haven't been properly arrested and therefore you've been abducted, and therefore they have broken the law. So in those circumstances, you use a specific choice of words. But something like, we're going to have to escalate this situation, this is not the kind of terminology that a person of IQ 100 that's that age is likely to know, unless they've been told it, unless they've been informed of this terminology. So that itself says something. I think we also have to remember that the police are going to be decreasingly intelligent, particularly the bobbies on the beat. So a friend of mine has just tweeted something interesting. Let me just have a look at this. A friend of mine who is a barrister has just tweeted something interesting. I want to see what he has had to say. An overview of the laws, which tend to lead to such doorstep interactions by myself at the Restorationist. Public Order 1986, for one, should be a household name and constant focus of public criticism. It must go. I don't know if he's just put this up. No, he hasn't, but it relates to these doorstep interactions. So have a look at that, chaps. Go on to the Restorationist and have a look at Liberty Lost, the era when Britain became a cautionary tale on free speech. I'm afraid I can't read through it all now. I shall read this later, but I'm sure it makes some extremely insightful points. But yes, so what has to be understood about what's changed about the nature of the police is that, of course, in the good old days, when only about 10% of people did degrees, and people were kind of less ambitious, people were more kind of in some ways, this is a bad thing because it meant that you'd have highly intelligent people that perhaps wouldn't reach their potential. We have now the cognitive stratification of society, where in a meritocracy increasingly, where if you are highly intelligent, then you can go very, very far. You can go into academia or the law or being a doctor or whatever. And of course, this didn't used to be the case. It was unthinkable for a lot of people that were born into working class families or even lower middle class families. The idea that you would go to university was, let alone a good university, it was just unthinkable. It was beyond comprehension. It wasn't what people like you did. The horizons were not there. Of course, there are still some people like that, but it's decreasingly the case. And so this means that if you are highly intelligent and whatever, then you will go into something like law or academia or something like that, something that is high status. And being a policeman is not high status. Being a policeman may be high status within certain small sort of lower middle class or working class communities. And that may be kind of the highest you can expect to get to. And so obviously it used to be the case that you would get far more, you know, you compared to now, that you'd get relatively intelligent young men that would go into being police officers, that would become police officers. That's what you get, relatively intelligent, and women, relatively intelligent people who probably were intellectually capable these days of going to university and doing a degree and doing whatever job. But now, of course, those people don't do that. They don't become police officers. If they're sufficiently clever, they're going to do something that has higher status. So whereas 30 years ago, someone like Sir Paul Condon, or whoever it was that ran the Metropolitan Police back then, was probably a highly intelligent man who would have been capable of going to university and maybe going into being a solicitor or something. I don't know. Of course, now this is not the case. The police is going to attract a far lower level of intellectually of caliber of recruit. And that is going to be reflected in how they behave and in the extent to which they can reason and the extent to which they can understand the law and the extent to which they can understand what they're allowed to do and the extent to which they can understand your rights as a citizen. So it's a very, very dangerous situation, increasingly a dangerous situation. And the only, as far as I can see, the solution is for people to simply stop interacting with the police. Now, what that might actually eventually lead to by default is a kind of South Africa situation where if you completely refuse to interact with these low IQ overreaching zealots, then when there is a problem, a real problem, you probably also don't want to interact with them. Like if you're burgled, and to be fair, I get the impression they don't really bother solving burglaries these days in the UK anyway. They're much more interested in thought crime. This is an arc of tyranny that they will clamp down heavily on dissent. They are the foot soldiers of the woke regime, whether it is in power de facto or in power de jure. It doesn't really matter. It's in power de facto, and they are the foot soldiers of this regime, and that's what their job is. And that's what they prioritize, and indeed have probably been told to prioritize over actual crime. And this is presumably why, if you go to Tesco in parts of London now, they have to have special electric tags on bottles of wine, plastic tags that have to be removed manually by the shop assistant. Because, there's been a rise in theft. Why has there been a rise in theft? Well, prices are totally unreasonable and have gone up to an unbelievable degree, 25% or something in the last 10 years. In relation to salaries, it's absolutely outrageous. You know, I sit here in Finland, in northern Finland, and I've been here 20 years. And 15 years ago, I would think, oh, I wish I... Sometimes I'd think to myself, oh, I fancy a steak. Oh, I wish I was in England, because steak is so expensive in Finland. I see it as such a luxury to cook myself a steak, let alone eat out and have a steak. And now we're in a situation where getting a steak in this country costs less money than buying it in England and eating out at a restaurant. You know, I was at a restaurant in Lincoln, £28 for a steak and potatoes and vegetables and whatever, £28. £1,000. It costs less than that in northern Finland, and we have to import everything, and heat the bloody country when it's freezing cold, and there's so much more cost to living in northern Finland. Wetherspoons, Gaz. Yeah, that's a very good point you say about Wetherspoons. Yes, it is a rip-off strategic viewpoint, but you find me a reasonable restaurant, a nice restaurant that charges less than that. I took £28 there. I went to a restaurant in Wimbledon. What was it called now? I can't remember the name of the restaurant. But again, £28. I think it was over 30 for a particular cut of steak at this restaurant, this French restaurant in Wimbledon Village. So it's absolutely ludicrous. Wetherspoons is overpriced for food now. Well, you might be right about that. Beefeater, says Tommy M. I haven't seen a Beefeater for... I think I last went to a Beefeater in about 1986. I don't know where there is one. I'm not sure there is a beef. I imagine Tommy M probably used to work at a Beefeater. He probably did. I know Tommy M is a chef. Wetherspoons, £12. Yeah, well, that's very reasonable. So if Wetherspoons can afford it, then other people can afford it as well. But we're going off topic. Toby Carberry. Yes, good point. Ham and eggs. We are going off topic slightly, though. That tends to happen on my live streams. I do appreciate that, chaps. But this is absolute. If this is true, and I want to check Twitter to see, because I just can't quite believe it's true. They look like 12-year-old girls. They look far too young. I suppose if you leave school these days at 18 rather than 16, you train to be a police officer, a couple of years, you're a police officer by the age of about 20, you're a relative, if you're not slow life history strategist, I suppose, in some respects, and so you age quite slowly. I have come across cases of this in Finland, because Finns are slow life history strategists compared to people in the UK. They, as far as I'm aware, they literally go through puberty later. And I had a teacher, this woman introduced herself to me at my son's nursery school. This is 10, 11, 12 years ago, something like that. And as far as I was concerned, who is this 12-year-old girl talking to me? What do you want? Why are you here? Shouldn't you be at school? What do you want? And she comes walking up to me, asking me, "Are you Henry's dad?" In English, and I was like, "Yeah." Oh, I'm his new teacher. And my reaction, it was like that Father Ted episode where Dougal and Ted meet the solicitor with regard to Father Jack having died, and I am the solicitor. No, you're not. And it was like that. She looked so young. It was preposterous. She just didn't look like she'd been through puberty yet. No, she wasn't a dwarf CW2, no, but she didn't look like she'd been through puberty. And maybe she hadn't fully. I mean, because as I say, they do age more slowly, as far as I can see here. And you probably get that with East Asians as well. They age more slowly. But yeah, you're right. The people are saying spoons. Spoons is one of the few good things about the UK. In Berkshire, I say £22. It's still too much. Should be like a tenner. Just a bit of meat. It's a bit of meat, slab of meat, bung some salt and pepper on it, bit of red wine, fry it for a couple of minutes, serve it up. It's not bloody complicated, all right? It's not caviar. It's absolutely preposterous. But anyway, going back to the issue at hand, this is why criminality has gone up as well. That if you give people a certain standard of living, and then you take that away from them, then you're in trouble. And theories of revolutions, one of the theories is relative deprivation, i.e. the people have something and then you take it away. That's relative deprivation. And that seriously annoys people. And we have experienced relative deprivation for a long time. I mean, I remember in 2002, you could fly from Luton, I think it was, to Dublin for nothing. For nothing. You just paid the taxes for nothing. Zero money for the actual flight itself. You just paid the taxes. And even if it wasn't nothing, it would be something really, really cheap, like £20 each way or something like that. I mean, ridiculously low prices. And you recall at about that time, I remember at university in the early 2000s, you'd do things like, what should we do today? Let's go and buy a loaf of bread and feed it to the ducks. And you could get a loaf of bread for about 10 or 20 pence, like the low standard white sort of loaf of bread, 10 or 20 pence loaf of bread. So the prices have gone up to an extraordinary degree. And the salaries have obviously not kept up with that. And so you're almost begging for people to start stealing stuff if that's what you're going to do. And you can't find a way to keep the prices lower. And they talk about these other things as well. Dine and dash. I've heard of this, which is that people will go into a restaurant and just eat their meal and then wait for no one's looking and bugger off. To the extent that I was at a restaurant in, somewhere in central London, it doesn't matter where, and it was this particular restaurant where they don't use seed oils, and they serve things like steak and whatever, and they don't use seed oils. I can't remember what it's called. And me and this friend sat outside, and the waitress demanded that because we were sitting outside, we had to pay the bill up front. This was because, of course, that there have been cases of people sitting outside, eating their meal and buggering off, which is incredibly entitled. It's as though people feel they have the right to eat out. They have the right to a lifestyle which was completely unthinkable as recently as the 70s. I mean, there weren't that many restaurants in the 70s or even the 80s. And to the extent that they were, it was quite expensive. And so people didn't really eat out. And then we go through this phase where it's very cheap and everyone eats out and everyone gets used to it. And now it's increasingly expensive to do so. And so but people are used to eating out. And indeed, they are used to not even bothering to cook. And indeed, they are used to, I suspect, a situation where often they haven't even learned to cook. And their parents haven't taught them to cook because they don't need to cook, because they just live off takeaways. And that used to be feasible. It was an expensive way to live, but it was feasible. Someone's saying pipe for less than £2. I don't know where you would find that. I remember in the East End of London at a pub called the Railway Tavern in, I forget where, somewhere in the East End, years ago, like 20 years ago, a half pint was a pound. So I assume that the pint was £2. But again, now the cost of a pint is absurd. I mean, in parts of London, it's £8. And again, it's got to a point where it is more expensive than an equivalent pub in Finland. And when I came to this country 20 years ago, the cost of I'm just old, Ed. Oh, well, so am I, ish, I suppose, ish. But the cost of a pint in this country was double what it was in the UK. And now it is the same. So something's gone very, very seriously wrong in the UK. And I know that a lot of you watching are in the UK. And I would be, you know, interested in your views on it. But a pipe was under £2. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you go back long enough, it goes down, 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 doesn't it? But it wasn't that long ago. It was probably the early 2000s that a pint in a pub in sort of outer London became £2. I think that's roughly when it was. It was the early 2000s, and a lot of people got very cross when it crossed that border into £2. And now I couldn't believe it. It went up very steeply, very quickly. The idea of a fiver, 7.50 for beer outside of a bloody can in Finland here. Yeah, €7.50, Tommy. €7, not £7. €7.50. So that's about £5. And £5 is now the going rate in the UK. So I rest my case. We have a question. £10. Thank you very much from Detex. He says there is groups like On the Tools that have mastered these rage bait videos. They do them on planes, building sites. They did some during the flag protests. It's Facebook boomer bait, hopefully. Well, that's the point. Yeah, I am skeptical of it. Hopefully, yeah. But the point is that when something is satire, there's a degree to which it shouldn't quite be believable. You realise it's satire. There's something a bit off. It's too much. It's not quite believable. I remember when I watched The Day to Day for the first time, which is a comedy series, for those who don't recall, in the early to mid 90s with Chris Morris and Alan Partridge and various people like that. And I didn't know, I never heard of it, of course. And so briefly, I thought it was real. But then it's so absurd that you realise it isn't. And similarly with Brass Eye, which was made by the same people, there was an instance where they talked about, was it Noel Edmonds having murdered somebody or something like this? And it was as though it was a real news flash. But there were little things in it, like the female news reporter having a moustache, and it just being so absurd that then you realise it's satire. The problem with this is it may be satire, it may be, but it's so close to the truth that you can't really be sure. I can really believe this possibility. If it is satire, the fact that you have a Muslim police officer wearing a hijab is a very nice touch as well, because it makes it all the more believable that it's not satire. That they've got that level of sort of individuality to it. The second question is from Andrew Allens. Thank you, sir. He says, when you watch 80s movies, it's much more plentiful and white. I'm in Canada. Plentiful. What's plentiful? I don't know what you mean, but thank you for your question. Obviously, there's been substantial immigration since this time. I'm hoping. I mean, I'm checking Twitter, chaps, and I'm hoping that someone's going to say that this is nonsense. And no one has done so far. I would dearly like confirmation that this is nonsense from somebody, because I cannot believe. But no, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it from the WhatsApp chat that I'm in. I'm not getting it from Twitter. So until someone tells me otherwise, and they may do, I'm prepared to believe this is true. It's fake and very realistic. How do you know it's fake? How do you know? It's so accurate to what I would expect to happen at the moment. It's only a slight escalation, to use that word, of the kind of thing that has become relatively normal in the UK. That I do not know. So everything is fake. Well, that's clearly not true, is it? Because if everything is fake, then your comment is fake, and so we can't know anything, and so. Who can say? But if it is not fake, then obviously these two police officers are guilty of some kind of misconduct and should be seriously punished for that. And we need to, you know, and if it is not fake, then it's just a new step in this woke tyranny. Darth Quifia says there's no reason to think it's fake. Well, only in so much as she says viewing a social media post. And There's no way that's a crime. That is not a crime to view a social media post. How would they know she had viewed a social media post? How would they know that? They can't know that. So it seems possible that it's a fake. And the officers are so absurdly young looking that, again, it seems possible that it's a fake. There's enough about it to make you wonder whether it's a fake. So, but if it isn't, then, you know, good heavens. Britain is tyranny. Britain is a police state. And Britain is the worst kind of police state. It's the police state of the Cultural Revolution, essentially. It's absolutely crazy. I wish it was, but it isn't. Can we be sure of that? Hopefully, in the coming days, there'll be questions about it, and we'll be able to know if it is or isn't fake. But if it isn't fake, then hopefully it will be a consciousness-raising moment as to how bad it has got, and it will motivate the British to finally do something about it, because it is absolutely preposterous infringement on any traditional British liberty. You do not enter a home without a warrant, and you do not manipulate people into giving up their rights. It is absolutely appalling. All right, I don't know, it's Sunday. Might go and play Grand Theft Auto 5. Might go back in time to when life was less insane and play Grand Theft Auto 5. Might do that. See you tomorrow, chaps. We'll be live streaming at 7 o'clock UK time, which is 2 p.m. in New York. And stay safe and don't speak to the police.